chaos at colleges continues as protesters overrun police barricades.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Once again, it's a Monday. We're going to be taking your calls. The weekend didn't slow down those protesters. We got a lot more information coming out of those encampments, which I feel like is the favorite word right now. 1-800-684-3110 to get your voice heard on the air. And I'd love to hear from you. Again, that's at 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on YouTube or Rumble, I'm asking you to hit that subscribe button. Also, thumbs up. Give me a comment. Let me know if you don't have a question or comment related to this, all I ask is let me know where you're watching from. I appreciate that. I always like in the breaks, I like to look and see what's going on. But Will, we had more protests happening. Some good ones, honestly. There was a good one out of UCLA. There was a negative one out of UCLA's way, but there was a pro-Israel protest, if you will, in support of Israel, a demonstration that was very hopeful, very joyful. You could see the physical difference in it. You could see the UCLA Palestinian protesters, you're spewing out evil, and then you turned over shortly and you saw dancing and fun and joy, much like, by the way, how it is in Israel, which is you cross the border and you see sadness, you see, extreme fundamentalism. You see, women being treated like second-class citizens, if not worse. And then you go turn over and you just look towards Israel, and all of a sudden there's people dancing in the streets, having a blast, living a free life. But also, it didn't stop, though, Will, because even at George Washington University, we saw even the small attempts to blockade this were being taken over.
That's right. And similar to what Harvard did, where they restricted their yard to students only, George Washington University, which is in D.C., was trying to limit the outside agitators, the professional protesters, professional organizers, as we've been seeing around the country, and trying to at least limit it to students. But there was an encampment between the University Yard and H Street, where at 11:28 p.m. last night, protesters toppled the police barricades that were set up. So these weren't just university barricades. These were police barricades. They were toppled. It looks like a bizarro world Les Miserables, where they're standing on top of the barricades, waving a Palestinian flag with a bullhorn, shouting their hateful rhetoric. And the police tried to then arrest some of these people that toppled these barricades, and the protesters pushed back so much so that it seems like the police officers were maybe in fear of their safety. Yes. According to the report from the student paper, the organizers said the demonstrators were able to de-arrest the detained protesters as chants from the crowd against the police continued. So a very tumultuous situation, and we're seeing that spread across the country.
Here's the deal. Also, I was talking to my team earlier today, and I said, we keep reporting on this, hoping that these would just end. Currently, apparently at 2 p.m. Eastern time, Columbia is supposed to end their encampment. That's the deadline for students and for, I guess, protesters, not most of them are not students, to get off campus. We did also have that guy we talked about last week who did pretty much calling for the death to all of us who are listening right now. He was banned from campus and, I believe, suspended.
Expelled.
So you know what? Maybe there's some positive movement in that sense. But I asked our team, and I said, look, we are at the last 2 days of our Life and Liberty Drive. I want you to keep on me. Don't switch the graphic yet. Because I asked our team, I said, what can we actually do? I don't want to just go out there today and report. Because you're hearing us report about these protests every day. So here's what our thing. I talked to our legal team today. Our legal team is preparing demand letters to the Department of Education and to colleges that have this situation, reminding them of their legal obligation to protect Jewish students and Zionist students, which includes Christian students, evangelicals, and stop violent protests. So that is happening. We are putting together this letter. We are making sure that it is disseminated to all the major points of education. Make sure it's on our website. You can send it to, if you go to college, your kids go to college, you make sure you send it to them to protect. We can't do that kind of work. I can't get this legal team in action without you. So I need you right now. These are our last 2 days, which are our biggest 2 days. These are the days we need the support the most. Go to aclj.org. Make your donation today. All donations are matched for the rest of the month, but that's only a day. So please go ahead and do that right now. I'd love to hear from you. And if you do, please put it in the comments. We'll be right back. Obviously, that conversation that was happening, if you're watching during the breaks on social media, you get special video packages that are put together. So if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble or on ACLJ.org, we don't just go to break. We don't just go to commercial. We actually show some specialty videos. In that one, there was that sort of wrestling with what these colleges are going to do when these protests happen. We are activating our legal team. We did find out. We sent a demand letter to protect the Jewish students on campus just late last year, directly to Columbia. So now they've been on notice. They've been on warning. We're going to do something about it. And if they don't, we will. I'd love to hear from you. What your thoughts? What would you do in this situation? 1-800-684-3110. Professor Harry Hutchinson is joining us in studio. We're also going to have on later on this broadcast, Rick Grinnell and Danny Danone from Israel. So we're going to cover a lot of topics today. Stay tuned. It's going to be a packed show. So if you want to hear some just great legal analysis, it's coming up in just a second. But I want to lead with this phone call that could take us into this conversation. Robert, Maryland, on line one, you're on the air.
I wanted to ask you a question. What are the faculty members and administrators on the college campuses where these anti-Israel demonstrations are taking place, and these are pro-Palestinian demonstrators calling for the destruction of Israel, hating Zionists, and also discriminating against Jewish students and also Christian students that support the existence of the nation Israel? What do they plan on doing in terms of disciplinary action against these types of things taking place?
Look, I think, Robert, that's a good question. I'm going to defer to Harry a bit here, someone who's been in that situation, been in academia and had to deal with students maybe having disagreements, but maybe not on this level, not to where the protests were overrunning the campus. But what would you do in this situation if you're a faculty member and these kind of demonstrations are happening on your campus?
Well, first, the more elite the university, the more unlikely it is that the university administrators and faculty are prepared to do anything. So if you look at the pattern that unfolded during the Antifa riots and the BLM protests that commenced in 2020, for instance, several things are clear about the, some might say, insane political unrest on university campuses. First, I would argue that the spirit of lawless hatred has been unleashed on college campuses throughout the United States. And this spirit is really accompanied by actions that go well beyond the boundaries of free speech. So you see colleges shutting down essentially commencement exercises, classes from the East Coast to the West Coast. And there is minimal pushback, I would argue, from university administrators. In part, I think they are afraid of the students. And so part of the issue, I think, long run, is many students have been raised, I would argue, without parents. Yep. And that's not something that we can address in the short run. And secondarily, I would argue, consistent with comments I've made earlier, that the more privileged the students are, the more elite the campus is, the more unlikely that the administrators are prepared to act. And if indeed they are prepared to act, then the question becomes, are the political leaders in certain areas, let's say Washington, D.C., prepared to allow the police to do their job? And generally speaking, I would say they're unwilling to allow the police to do their job. This is political and some might say moral insanity. But lastly, Thomas Sowell has said that in politics, we should never assume that because something is insane, it will not be done. And I think that is unfolding in the United States. So the students are saying death to Israel, death to the United States. But before death to the United States occurs, please pay off our student loans. Right. This is absurd.
Right. And I think that's even a good point, because there's a lot of people even out there saying, well, the faculty is not only just scared of press and media reaction, they're also scared of parents. So you're saying that it's a lack of parenting, but there's also going to be parents who are going, how dare you do this to my student who is just setting up a tent on campus and protesting and chanting death to America? You know, we're withdrawing our funds. We are, you know, we're going to take our donations somewhere else. Will, it is kind of living in the upside down world, right, when you do have that movement of going, oh, it's beyond It's so beyond, it's so elite that it's like they meet in the middle. They meet in a horseshoe.
Well, know? And there was this article from the New York Times over the weekend that it's the headline is "Denied a Second Chance at a Normal Senior Year." And it was drawing comparisons about how this class that's preparing to graduate here at universities across the country were also seniors in high school when at the beginning of the pandemic, when pretty much across the country during that first May, schools were shut down.
Yeah,
so the following one, yes, many in California may have not had normal graduations, but at this point, this first May of 2020, many schools didn't have traditional commencement ceremonies, at least in the way that many want of the pomp and circumstance. But they were trying to draw this comparison between the pandemic shutting down schools and now on these college campuses, many aren't able to do that because of these protests. But it just caught me as odd that there was no call directly on university boards, faculty, administration to say, you know, we can stop this. We can stop this quickly. We can call the police in. We can disband the encampments and set up security measures. But there doesn't seem to be the will of these university administrations to give this normal senior year commencement to many of these college campuses.
I think you're precisely correct, and I think their will and willingness to take action has been drained by the feckless belief that taking action is seen as right-wing speech. So in other words, shutting down unrest that prevents speech, that prevents a university from operating, that prevents a university from educating students, that is seen as a right-wing move. And I think many of the administrators and many of the faculty, they are unwilling to take action. So they're unwilling to make the hard choices. And I also would argue that their unwillingness actually breeds more unrest. So it just multiplies.
One of the things we're doing, and we were talking about this in our radio meeting, before we do a broadcast, we have a meeting and we discuss, you know, what can we do? And look, this topic is one that's been coming up. You know, obviously, we've been doing this now, covering it for almost a week, and it still is getting traction as people, as it's escalating. Now, back in December, there was threats against Jewish students on campuses back since all time, but really in the last 6 months, it's really ramped up. So we were already engaged legally. We were already sending letters, but we decided today that we're going to take even more action. Our legal team right now is preparing demand letters to all of the institutions that these encampments are happening at. And also, we're going to provide it to you. So if you have a student who's in it, or you're one of those students, you can have what your rights are as well, because we believe they have a legal obligation to protect not just Jewish students, but pro-Zionist students, which is essentially evangelical Christians. And we have to stop violent protests on these campuses. We can't do that without you and your support at the ACLJ. You can do it right now by donating, making a gift during this Life and Liberty Drive. And it sounds like I'm just doing a pitch here, but I'm getting our team in action. And Harry, someone who's been there, we know that even in academia, pressure from outside legal organizations really can make a big difference, because all of a sudden the heat gets turned up.
I think that's absolutely correct. And one of the things that I would encourage listeners to respond to is the fact that we need to generate more heat, more and more, because I think this particular battle is likely to continue for several months.
Absolutely. Well, coming up on our next segment, we have Danny Danone joining us to give us sort of a different perspective on Israel. Why don't you give a little bit of background on who he is if you don't know him? You've probably seen him on Fox. You've heard him on this broadcast over the decades. I think he's been on, but he'll be joining us in just a minute.
Yeah, he's been leadership inside Israel for many, many years, and he was the ambassador to the UN for Israel. He's been a member of Knesset. He's had many different positions within the Israeli government, and he's going to be speaking directly about this threat we saw rise up over the weekend, where they're believing that arrest warrants coming out of the International Criminal Court could be imminent against Israeli leaders. And so therefore, it would be the threat if they left Israel that they could be taken into custody.
And we have been there before at the International Criminal Court, so it'll be very interesting to see how the ACLJ will be able to engage on that. We are one of the few organizations that have been there and have fought specifically for Israel in these situations, or fought for our own troops, the U.S. These are not situations that should be taken lightly. The ICC is not something to joke around about. If you watch it, yes, it has this very kind of spooky vibe that goes on there that feels very post-apocalyptic, if you will, in some strange way, but it's real. And when arrest warrants go out and they are issued for potentially Israeli leaders, it is nothing to laugh about. We have to be there to help and support. I'm going to tell you right now, we are wrapping up our Life and Liberty Drive right now. Tomorrow is the final day for it. So you need to join us before midnight tomorrow. You need to be a part of it right now. We're short of our goal, okay? We can get your gifts doubled right now at aclj.org so we can go to organizations like the ICC. We can submit all of these letters to everywhere around that is having these protests on campuses. You need to be a part of it right now. We're dedicated to continue the fight for life and liberty, and we can't do it without you, our ACLJ supporters, and the monthly recurring donors that we call ACLJ champions. Be a champion today as well. Have your gift doubled for our Life and Liberty Drive deadline, which is just tomorrow, right now at aclj.org.
To Secchio. This is Jordan Secchio. We are joined by Danny Danone. He is a former ambassador to the United Nations for Israel right now, a member of the Knesset for Israel. He's also been key at showing those who have traveled to Israel the horrendousness of the attacks that occurred in Israel on October 7th and how Israel has responded to the attacks by Iran. And Danny Danone, a great friend of the ACLJ, joining us today on the broadcast. And Ambassador Danone, let me ask you first today to respond to these reports that the International Criminal Court is looking at issuing arrest warrants for certain Israelis that they want to bring before the court for war crimes.
Jordan, this is outrageous. To see the diplomatic terrorism of the Palestinian Authority instead of condemning Hamas and actually putting them on trial. They are trying to put our leadership, including Prime Minister Netanyahu and other dignitaries, on court. I still hope that it will not happen and that it's only a rumor. But if that will be the case in the next few days, that will be a new era. And I think we expect our allies, mainly the U.S., to take action, because you know, a few years ago, when there were rumors, similar rumors about American soldiers, American heroes, who supposedly were threatened that they will be taken to the court, the U.S. was very strong with their statement. And if I recall correctly, they said, if you're gonna start putting other soldiers and heroes in your courts, no one will be allowed to enter the U.S. from the International Criminal Court, and it was very effective. They dropped the case. So I hope our allies will stand with us and will not allow this circus to take place.
You know, Ambassador Danone, one thing you said is that you expect the United States to stand with you. And I think the American people will. I know the ACLJ, which has gone to the ICC on behalf of the United States military before, on behalf of Israel before. But this time around, things may be different with this administration. And we're concerned that they might not push back, and that we're concerned that they might let these ICC, again, these indictments move forward. You mentioned Prime Minister Netanyahu. It could be other members, directors of the military. How concerned are Israelis about the International Criminal Court? Because it is something the United States has tried to stay away from and kept away from for so long.
Well, you know, we are concerned, but we have a lot to deal with. You know, we are still dealing with bringing back the hostages. We have war with Hezbollah in the north. So that is another front. But I think it will be a problem, and we're trying to do our best to prevent it from taking place. But one thing I can tell you, even if it will happen, we are determined to finish the job. We are determined to win this war against evil, against Hamas. So no one will stop us. Not the ICC, not the ICJ. We will do whatever it takes to win Hamas. We haven't forgotten what they did to us and what they are planning to do to us in the future. Those things should not be repeated.
So it seems to me like, Ambassador Danone, even if the ICC tries to make some unprecedented move and the international community allows them to do that, that you are ready and Israel is ready and the Israeli people are ready to say, regardless of their politics, we are going to finish the job with Hamas, we're going to finish the job with whatever Hezbollah is trying to do, and we're not going to let Iran scare us with feeling like they can just shoot ballistic missiles at Israel whenever they feel like it.
We have no other choice, Jordan. We have no other options. We know that if we show weakness, we will get more enemies on our borders. And those enemies are worse than ISIS, worse than Al-Qaeda. We have seen what they are capable of doing. So we are determined to stand strong and proud. And I want to thank you and our friends worldwide who pray for us and stand with us. We know we are not alone. But, you know, it's like the biblical times when we were small, but we prevailed. And I believe in our strength, in our power, in our determination to win Hamas and to make sure that any enemy will think twice before they attack us again.
You know, I would hope that you would know this and the Israeli people would know this, but I'm curious how you would respond and how you think they should help. There are obviously thousands. It is equal amount of people that support Israel. The problem is the people that don't are becoming the loud voices in the media, the loud voices in the press. What can our listeners, supporters, viewers, donors do to help show their support for you and what's going on in Israel? Because they are in the millions here in America. Sadly, though, the press just doesn't quite give it the coverage it deserves. We saw this in UCLA, even the campuses, where you had the clear difference in the attitude and the energy coming from the pro-Israeli demonstration was this hope and positive and joy. But of course, it gets no attention. What can we do as Americans to help?
This is a time to stand up. This is a time to take the streets, to push back, and not to allow those loud voices, like you mentioned, to take over. We know we have supporters, we have friends, we have allies, but we need them to be vocal. You know, we see those scenes from Columbia University, and I ask myself, where are the supporters of Israel? They should take the streets with Israeli flags and stand against those crazy people who are attacking Jews and supporters of Israel. That's unacceptable. So I think we have to be vocal, we have to be active, and I know that many are doing a lot, but I urge them to take the streets, to push back, and not to allow those radicals to take over the streets of the U.S.
You know, I hope, Ambassador Danone, to see you soon in Israel and to stand in Israel with you, because we want to show our supporters, one, that it is safe to be in Israel, and two, how Israel is fighting back on these multiple fronts against Hamas, against Hezbollah, against Iran, as well the Islamic Republic of Iran, and against these legal attacks. You called it diplomatic terrorism. I wrote that down because I thought that was exactly right. I mean, it's diplomatic terrorism is what Israel has faced at the UN for decades, and he should know he was the ambassador for Israel to the United Nations, but now facing potential ICC indictments, Logan, because, again, the ICC doesn't like the way Israel is defending itself against an offensive attack, Ambassador Danone, by Hamas on October 7th.
Exactly, and I think they have to go back and watch the footage of what happened to our communities and to remember the hostages who are ongoing atrocities, are suffering those atrocities as we speak. And we realize that we have no other choice. We have to fight back. We have to bring them back home.
Thank you so much, Ambassador Danone, for joining us today. And look, it's very important. I was talking to our team earlier today and said, how can we engage in this? So not only is our legal team preparing the demand letters to all of the Department of Education and all the colleges, reminding them of their legal obligation, but also we're preparing our legal defense of Israel before the ICC. We think we could get called into action, and we're going to do what we can. That's at the International Criminal Court, by the way. If you don't understand that, we can break that down actually in an upcoming segment to really explain what that is, because it sounds like something, you know, out of science fiction, if you will, but it's very real. So we are going to do that. We've won at the ICC before. We can do it again, but we can't do it because we do all of this at no cost to our clients. We can't do it without your support. And we are in the final days of our Life and Liberty Drive. It ends tomorrow night at midnight. Without your support, we will not be able to continue on this amazing work that we do here at the ACLJ, whether in the media or whether in the law. So right now, go to ACLJ.org. If you're watching, you can scan the QR code. Be a part of the Life and Liberty Drive. All donations are doubled right now. They're matched. So you need to be a part of it. It ends tomorrow. We'll be right back. Second half hour coming up and a very short break. Back in under a minute.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Yes, I'm back. I'm back in this seat. So hello, welcome. That was not a pre-tape. And a lot of people probably think that because Jordan popped in and popped out. But he has got a busy schedule right now. So I wanted him to come in and talk to Ambassador Danone because he is more of an expert in that. And Will, we need to talk a little bit about the International Criminal Court because I think it's something that people don't even really know exists. I'll be honest that before we got really deeply involved, I had no idea the level of the International Criminal Court, really what it looks like. And when you see the visuals of it, like I said, it's a spooky, spooky place with robes and clean white walls. And it feels like something out of a, you know, futuristic dystopian society. But of course, it's what happened in the world. You know, it's when you think of a George Orwell in 1984, when you think of a New World Order, it's kind of what it feels like, and it kind of is what it is.
Right. So the International Criminal Court was developed out of a treaty known as the Rome Statute. That statute and that treaty was signed back in the late 90s, but then the court, it took a while to build up, and it entered into its existence in 2002. So a relatively young international body compared to some of these others that we talk about, like the UN. But effectively, there's 124 member states, and the goal and mission of the International Criminal Court is to investigate and prosecute things that are more global in nature, like genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and things of that nature.
The UN, of course.
Right. Yes, it is very
much. It's a
much.
Way to kind of...
Although there is the International Court of Justice, which is a UN body.
Okay.
So they do get... It's like two competing sports leagues, per se. And you got, you know, you got the Arena Football League, and then you got the NFL.
Dystopian? Who is more globalist?
But some states are not a party to this. Like, the United States is not a party to the International Criminal Court. We don't want to cede jurisdiction over our own people to an international body. And so... not surprisingly, some countries like China and India and Russia. Now, these countries also don't cede this authority to the International Criminal Court. But many smaller countries, South America, some European countries, some countries in Africa are state parties to this, meaning that they have jurisdiction to investigate war crimes and things of that nature. A lot of times they're going after former Soviet bloc countries where there may be genocide or crimes against humanity or things of that nature. But it's also a place that Jack Smith, this special counsel investigating Donald Trump, he was a Justice Department lawyer that went over then to work as a prosecutor at the ICC. So it has a broad scope and mandate, but it does have limitations based off if the countries or not are a party to that. Now, Israel is not a party to it, but it doesn't stop the ICC from trying to gain jurisdiction over people that it believes have committed crimes or that it wants to investigate crimes of. And the problem here would be if they do issue arrest warrants for someone like Benjamin Netanyahu, it would severely limit Prime Minister Netanyahu's ability to go to places like Europe, because European countries that are a party to this statute, to the Rome Statute and the International Criminal Court, would be obligated to enforce an arrest warrant of a leader that travels to their country that there's an open warrant from the court on him. So it does start to get dicey if they start to issue an arrest warrant on someone like Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
So hopefully that gives you a big overview of what we're dealing with the ICC. And that is why our legal defense team, who has already been engaged there before, has already won there before, is back in action to make sure we are there to protect our friends in Israel. And we cannot do that without you. I mean, imagine just the travel cost alone to just get our crew and our team and our legal team all over there. It is not inexpensive. And we can't do that without you. And we're also sending all those demand letters to the Department of Education and all the colleges that need to be reminded they need to be protecting their students that are Jewish, their students that are Christians, anyone who they would consider a Zionist. Because again, now the calls to death to America have also said death to all Zionists. And by the way, that's probably you. It's probably me. It's those who are Jewish or not Jewish who just support the fact that Israel exists. We get back when we join by Rick Grinnell. We'll keep talking about that. We'll discuss all the options that we have on the table here at the ACLJ. And I'd love to hear from you. I'd love your ideas. Within reason, 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ again during the Life and Liberty Drive. Be back in just a minute. back to Secula. We are now joined by Senior Advisor for National Security and Foreign Policy. You also know him as the former Acting Director of National Intelligence under President Trump and U.S. Ambassador to Germany, Rick Grinnell, who could not be a better person to talk to about this situation, not only what's going on college campuses, but what's going on now right now with the ICC putting out these potential threats of arrest warrants for people like a Benjamin Netanyahu or any of the sort of suspected evildoers, if you will, from the ICC's point of view. Before we do that, Rick, I don't usually do this right up front, but you know what? I'm going to do it so we can continue this conversation. We're here at the ACLJ. You've been a part of the team now for years. To be able to have a team that can go to the ICC, to have a team that can now engage with these college campuses, make sure that we're protecting the rights of Jewish and what they say, Zionist students, or really all of us, probably evangelicals, are included in that. The work of the ACLJ really matters. And of course, we are here at the end. We're only a day away from the end of our life in Liberty Drive, but you've been a major part of that. And I want to thank you. But also, if you could also tell people what it's like to be a part of that team.
Yeah, look, I think the perfect example of the importance of ACLJ is what we're about to talk about with the ICC. I spent 8 years at the UN. The ICC is an international court that the UN oversees in many ways. And to be able to impact this international court and what it's trying to do in terms of going after Americans, U.S. soldiers consistently, or our allies like Israel, you have to have an international legal team that understands the UN and understands the systems that they put in place in Europe. That is ACLJ. We don't just talk about issues. One of the reasons I joined ACLJ is because we actually have teams that dig deep and fight in the best possible way, not just through the newspaper, not through a press release or a tweet highlighting the problem, but we actually tackle the problem by going in and having great legal arguments and political arguments to try to stop what's happening on the international stage. That's the game. I can tell you from being on the opposite side at the State Department at the UN, you have to have organizations that understand the fight and know the process like ACLJ. We're putting in the time, we're putting in the work, we have experts, and that's how you win, not just complaining on Twitter.
If you can't just say, oh, they're bad, you actually have to have someone who can go in and work within the system to get things done. And we can't do that without your support. So I encourage you, thank you, Rick, to go to ACLJ.org right now. Life and Liberty Drive, all donations are doubled and matched for the next 24 hours. So make sure you go and do that right now if you can, or do it during our break. But I wanted to break that down a little bit more, Will, about our work and what's going on with the ICC.
That's right. And with the ICC, now, Israel is no stranger to being targeted by the UN and the ICC, unfortunately, but it would be a little unprecedented to see something like arrest warrants for the prime minister, especially during the active ongoing campaign against Hamas. What practically would this do in this short term if these arrest warrants were put out by the ICC for top leadership in Israel?
Well, first of all, this is very real. I would believe these people when they show you who they are. The ICC lawyers, just like the Hague International Court lawyers, Jack Smith, for instance, who I know personally indicted the president of Kosovo when the president of Kosovo was on his way to cut a historic deal at the Oval Office with Donald Trump. Jack Smith didn't want Donald Trump to get a win. Now Jack Smith is manipulating our laws in the United States to go after Donald Trump. This is what this international court system has. Our lawyers who are protected to do this international type investigation, they don't comply with domestic laws. They make up their own rules. They think that they are above everything. So if an ICC lawyer is going to issue an indictment on an Israeli, this is a real thing. We've tried to stop the ICC. There's this thing called Article 99 of the Rome Statute, which allowed for the ICC. And the Article 99 allows countries to opt out and be protected. And so the United States has gone around before we've done international military operations or any type of operations, we've tried to get an Article 99 allowing us to be protected. Doesn't always work, but that's how you work within the system. I would believe these people. It could be devastating to the political process in Israel.
Yeah, absolutely. That is why we are taking action at the ICC right now, and you can be a part of that and help us do that, as well as on the college campuses right now as we are figuring out ways to take action. I know a lot of times we come on here, we have to report what's going on, but in the background, the ACLJ team is working nonstop. Of course, there in the Bill, you can support that at aclj.org. One of the other things that came up, Rick, is the Biden administration, of course, earlier this year, I think it was during the State of the Union or shortly right after, announced they'd be building a pier, if you will, a humanitarian pier, they said, into Gaza, a floating pier that would be able to get humanitarian aid without actually putting boots on the ground, but of course, just right off the land. Now, we said, of course, this is a target. This is going to be a target immediately. We knew this was going to be a target. We said it. And of course, over the weekend, though, thankfully, there was no loss of life. It was a target, and it was attacked by Hamas. That was mortared shells that were happening all over this quote-unquote pier that was still being, I think, still in construction, getting close to the end of construction. But, you know, this is where the Biden administration always, you know, wants to make a little statement and say, look, we're going to do this. And, of course, we all look at it and go, well, this isn't going to work. It's going to be attacked. You don't understand what you're dealing with in Gaza, or you do, and you're purposely misleading the American people and putting American troops in harm's way. And here we are.
Look, the Biden team has been weak and naive on their foreign policy. They gave Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, the regime in Tehran, hundreds of billions of dollars, and they thought that it might work to make them nicer and to get them involved into the community of nations. And it's a disaster. They funded terrorism because Joe Biden thought that money somehow was going to convince the Iranians to behave. It's the same thing with Hamas. You're not going to be able to negotiate with a group of terrorists who chop people's heads off and put babies in ovens. This is a terrorist organization. We need to be clear-eyed about who these people are. I believe that when Hamas is holding terrorists, we must get those Hamas is holding hostages, acting like a terrorist organization that they are. We must get those hostages back. That is the priority. That's what Israel is trying to do. I feel terrible that there is a humanitarian disaster, but this is the 100% blame of Hamas. That's why they're attacking some sort of a strategy that's going to bring in more humanitarian efforts, like a dock, like a pier. They don't want that. They don't want progress. And so they're going to attack it. This is a sign to the Biden team that they need to stop being so naive about who they're dealing with.
Don't worry. Susan Sarandon said all of that was a lie. Babies in ovens, that didn't happen. All of the sexual assaults, none of that happened. That is all Israeli propaganda. She's out there protesting still again, doing this again. Saying, haven't you learned? Haven't you read the New York Times? It has been debunked. That's what a lot of these kids are saying on college campuses. No, because of course, it has to be black and white. It has to be good and bad. Gaza good, Hamas good, Israel bad. It can't ever be that there are atrocities happening. Like you said, none of us can look at the humanitarian crisis in Gaza and not have sympathy, especially as Christians. You can't not have sympathy for people that are going through this. But you do obviously have to look at the origin story here and how did we get there and how do we get there? The attacks in October, and of course, thousands of years going back and forth, but you pushed them over the edge. Rick, thank you so much for joining us today because I'm going to take the next couple minutes. And again, thank you for your work here at the ACLJ because that is right now during this Life and Liberty Drive. Incredibly important when you hear from people like Rick. Again, Rick, thank you for being part of the team. And I know our viewers have loved having you here and they love getting your commentary. And look, it's going to be a pretty busy 6 months. So I look forward to seeing over the next 6 months where things go as we head sort of the back half of the year coming up soon.
All the best. Thank you so much. It's a real pleasure to be here. And I hope people will support ACLJ because we do good substantive work. And if without having our team, I fear that organizations like the ICC will just have a free running play field and wreak havoc on our international institutions. I just want to say one final thing for people who don't understand what the ICC is. This is an international criminal court which allows an international level above our own courts to rule on what's appropriate. And that, to me, is very wrong. It's the globalist court.
Yeah, I don't think any of our viewers, hopefully, even are in favor. But of course, we have to be there because it's serious and it's real. Just like the UN. Just if you disagree with it, doesn't mean you can't be there and you have to be engaged. And we will do that for you. Thank you, Rick, for joining us. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. All donations are matched right now for the next 24 hours, but it ends at midnight tomorrow. But I'm going to encourage you to do it right now as we go to break. Also, if you've already done it, thank you. Know that I appreciate it. Put in the comments that you did. I'm going to try to thank as many of you as I can. Also, we got three lines open, and I want to take as many calls as I can for this last segment of the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on our social media platforms, it's okay. Call in. I want to hear from you. Welcome back to Seculo. We're going to kick this off by taking your phone calls from around the country. Let's go first to Bruce, who's calling in Colorado. He's been on hold for about a half an hour. I appreciate that, Bruce. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Thanks, Jordan, and thanks for all that the ACLJ is doing. My comment is about I'm wondering if what we're seeing is woke cancel culture because of their lack of will to shut down these racially biased protests, that if they're not effectively canceling their ideology because they're not enforcing their woke ideologies, they're to stop this racist bias stuff. And so, I mean, in essence, they're discrediting themselves and they're making woke look like a joke. And so they're self-canceling themselves, in essence.
Well, yeah, of course, Bruce, it all comes back around. If you go far enough to the left, eventually it becomes fascism as well. You'll be the far left that's preaching tolerance, preaching, canceling people for having a different point of view than you. But when that point of view is actually for a government, a terrorist organization that is filled with hate, that is filled with hate of people of all kinds, whether that is your faith, whether that is your gender, if you're just a woman, obviously it's a very different world. And of course, if you are anything that could be considered Western. But the horseshoe comes back around. It comes together at the same point, which is the far left eventually takes you to that point. And you see that in all walks of life now. But now it's gotten to the extreme where they're defending terrorism. But thank you for calling. Let's continue on. Josh is calling now from Oklahoma. Josh, you're on the air.
Yes, I got a three-part statement. I want to...
All right. Let's see where we go here, Josh. All right, three parts. Let's start with part one. Let's see how many parts we make it. I'm going to try to give you as much time as we can, though. Go ahead.
Okay. I'll try to go fast. I, as a Christian, I believe everybody has the right to freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, and freedom of protest, peaceful protest, and freedom of religion, regardless what religion it is. It doesn't matter. We cannot allow regular police and armed National Guardsmen to go on campuses and start arresting and tear gassing and beating people who are peacefully protesting, because there's a few people that get that group herd think mentality and go in there and, get everybody riled up and start getting, angry and violent.
Yep,
stuff like that.
Keep going. All right. Part two.
Okay.
Or was that part two?
We don't want another Kent State happening again, like that happened years ago, where several Christian people got killed by armed, National Guardsmen. The second thing is, wokeism or cancel culture has existed throughout history. No matter what type of religion you're involved in, people have had their heads beheaded because they didn't agree with certain religion or they didn't want to be a part of any religion. So that's always going to be there throughout the history of mankind.
Hey, Josh, I don't mean to cut you off. I know you want to get to a part three, but we got so many calls lined up. I just want to say no one is calling for the fact there can't be protests. We all think that there should be allowed to have peaceful protests. However, that's not what's happening here. You are having a little bit more violent protests. You are having people calling for the death to America. You also have this happening in private property. This is not always happening on a public, even university. Some of them are. You could go to a University of California or one of those. But when you're talking about Columbia, sure there's some federal funding or state funding coming from. But this is not fair game.
Well, I also think the problem is that the rhetoric is so heightened and genocidal in many ways that if the universities, they have a duty to protect their students and their constituencies. If the protesters were not saying anything in support of terror, I feel like you would have a much different
humanitarian thing saying you don't like the images that are coming out of Gaza. I understand that. I don't like them either. I don't like looking at them.
But it's not that. We're talking about open support for a designated terrorist organization that is sanctioned, that is we've tried to isolate, that is being a war is being fought against because of terror, that the safety of their students, they're having to shut down their campuses and cancel their graduations. It's not just that this is an inconvenience. There is an actual fear that people will get hurt even more than they already have. And so I think that to Josh's point, no one wants to see a National Guard takeover of a campus. That's not what anyone's end game is here. But the problem is that people aren't safe, so much so the universities are having to shut down effectively. And that's lawlessness to some degree.
Yeah, exactly. You said, graduation's not happening, so on and so on. I did want to play quickly. This is just to give you an idea that there are some people speaking up. You know, our friends in Five for Fighting, John Andrasik, there's an article this week about he's the lone voice. It was the Washington Post or Washington Times posted.
Wall Street Journal, actually.
Was it Wall Street Journal?
Yeah, I believe so.
One of them posted, I'll post it on my social media platform, that he's the lone voice for essentially music. And it's a pretty sad space, but also a great article for our friend John. So we appreciate people like that speaking up. And then people you maybe didn't think you were ever going to hear from. If you'd flash back maybe 5-10 years ago, maybe Bill Maher is not the person you thought of that would be speaking kind of talking points that were coming out of more of the conservative platform. Let's hear from Bill Maher just this past weekend.
Maybe if these Google employees had the slightest idea what kind of fundamentalist oppressive they're supporting, Hamas, the Houthis, Hezbollah, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, they might take it a little easier on the world's greatest monster, Genocide Joe. Genocide, by the way, is when you want to wipe out an entire people. That's the stated goal of Hamas. That's what From the River to the Sea means. Hamas would do that to Israel, but can't. Israel could do that to them, but doesn't.
Maybe this is the true moment of some Hollywood actually becoming what should be the true sense of woke. And being awoken to what's really happening around the world. So I really appreciate people like Bill Maher standing up for them. We probably disagree on 99% of the issues, but I'm glad that Israel's still one of those issues for them that we can go. Let's quickly take one more call. Mike in New Jersey. Jerry, I'm sorry we're not going to be able to get to you today. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi. In Islam, you're not allowed to leave the religion without being killed. So there's no freedom. There is no freedom, okay? And if you're there, arrest Benjamin Netanyahu. You should be arresting the leaders of Hamas and Vladimir Putin.
Look, they may have some, I don't know about Putin, but they may have some calls for the leaders of Hamas as well to be arrested.
There is definitely discussion that some Hamas leaders could be on this.
But that's okay.
So they could make it seem like it's a moral equivalent.
Moral equivalency, and that's ridiculous. Thank you so much, Mike, for calling in. I don't disagree with you, but we are here with just a minute left, and I'm just going to encourage you because we are so close to this end. I know you may have heard me say this before, but really, May 1st, no more match. No more double your donations. No more Life and Liberty Drive for months now. So this is really the final opportunity to support the work of the ACLJ. The deadline is midnight tomorrow. We're still short of our goal. Even if you don't care about this Israel situation, which I think you should, we are also getting involved in a lot of the pro-life cases that are happening. Tomorrow we're filing a major appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court in one of the biggest pro-life cases since the Dobbs decision. To get together, we can help protect the work, the life-saving work of pro-life counselors. You need to get involved in that. We're also taking on the Biden deep state, as you've heard. We're defending whistleblowers in multiple cases. You've heard us fighting for all of the injustices that are happening around the world. And we're dedicated to that fight for life and liberty. And of course, the two new points from just today. Our legal team is preparing demand letters to the Department of Education and all the colleges that need to be reminded to protect their Zionist students. That means Christians and Jewish students. And anyone who supports Israel in general, we need to make sure that they know that. We're also preparing a legal defense right now against the ICC. You've heard that, defending Israel. You need to be a part of that as well. We need your support to do it again. We've won, and we will do it again. So right now, go to ACLJ.org. If you can, if you want to, you're watching right now, scan the code right now. Also, we're about to hit 400,000 YouTube subscribers. So hit subscribe. I'd love to see us there by the end of this week. Talk to you tomorrow.